Peace be with all of you. Some of you could have heard the morning sermon, and we talk about marriage. And so now, we will talk about the knowing within marriage. Now, if you ask what is marriage, many people's idea of marriage is to be in love and to live together, or to have a companion, or it's about sexual relationship. But do you know that when the Bible talks about marriage, the big idea is one word, and that is knowing. It begins from knowing. And knowing is also the process, and knowing is also the process. And so one man and one woman will know each other in marriage. So let's take a look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And here it says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. And so this is very simple. And so Adam laid with his wife. And so laid with his wife in the original language is that man know his wife. So the Bible used the word know. And so later on, they brought forth and they gave birth a son. And so in the New Testament, in John chapter 1, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he said, you will be with a child and you should name him Jesus. And Mary said what? Mary said, I am still a virgin, and why will there be such a thing? So the word married is not in the original text, but Mary's original words is, and she said, I have not known a man. So how is it possible that I am with a child? So I've never known a man. How can this thing happen? And so from here, we know the Bible used a very meaningful way to describe the Bible, to describe the marriage of one man and one woman. And so they enter into marriage, enjoy the most intimate relationship, and they produce offspring. And so the Bible uses a very beautiful word, and that is know. But later on, human culture changes, and now marriage and the terms to describe marriage is more and more careless. And so the ordinary people just say, you know, when they talk about this union of one man and one woman, they talk about sexual, they use sexual relationship to describe this, they use sexual love to describe this. And so they use one night stand to describe all these things. It's very crude and careless words. And when man departs from man, when men depart from God more and more, so they move further and further away from the marital relationship that God has prepared for humans. And so they embroider into relationship that is outside of marriage, and they spoil the lives of themselves and the families of themselves and others. So why does the Bible use the word knowing to describe the most intimate relationship between a husband and a wife? Because that's how we are created. So how are we created? Without knowing, then we cannot be intimate. Can you understand this? So without knowledge, we cannot have intimacy. We can have sexual relationship, physical relationship, but that is not the kind of knowing that the Bible talks about. That's not the that's not the intimate relationship that God has prepared or created between one man and one woman. That kind of intimacy will come from knowing, and is expressed through knowing. So sexual love and sexual intimacy centers upon knowing and knowledge, and that includes men and women, the physical relationship between husband and wife. So I know my wife, and that means what? I have the most intimate relationship with her, and in that intimacy, there is this understanding, there's this chemistry, there's this trust, there's this kind of contact, which I only share with her. I only have it with her. I have no such relationship with anyone else. With my parents, I do not have this. With my primary school or secondary school friends, with all my beloved brethren, I don't have that kind of relationship. I know my wife. Only me and my wife have that kind of understanding and knowing. And so, such an idea was covered in the entire Bible. So when God told His people to be with Him and follow Him, God said, I know my people. God said that He is the everlasting groom, and when He gave His life for His bride, God said, I know them, I know the church, I know my sheep. Let's take a look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And what does this say? I know them. This is an exclusive relationship. My knowing and my loving, my contact with the sheep is exclusive. It is different from my interaction with the rest of the people. I have this exclusive relationship with my people, Israel, and this relationship will bring about what outcome? Verse 27, let's read together. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So they do it voluntarily because of this knowing. And so the sheep can recognize the shepherd's voice. So it's very hard for you to steal sheep because the sheep, they are very innocent. They could be stolen from people. So ever in Second World War, some people stole the sheep to Jerusalem. But the shepherd is very smart. When they whistle, so it's very different. So that whistle, everybody can blow a whistle, but the whistle of the shepherd is different. The voice of the shepherd is different. There is this very amazing difference. Then when the sheep heard that voice, the sheep will go back to the shepherd. Now, do we have this idea of knowing? Now, in this modern society, we do not truly understand this. But in marriage, you will realize that if you do not have knowledge, and if you do not base it on knowledge, then this marriage cannot advance. I remember when I was young, when my mother was cooking, suddenly, my mother say, your father is back. So I was very curious, how do you know father is back? Then 3 minutes later, somebody knock, and when I opened the door, it's indeed my father. So how did my mother know? So later I study how my mother knew my father is coming home. Because but last time my father drove the motorcycle, when he drove him from the main road into the car park, and he stopped the engine, and the bunch of key he took out, and he placed his helmet on the box behind the motorcycle and shut the box. And from then on, you count 3 minutes. And somebody knocked the door. Of course, sometimes because of waiting for the lift, it may delay a while. But sometimes after 4 minutes, if the father didn't knock, the mother will ask, where is your father? Why is he not back home yet? So I would think there's so many cars moving around that timing, entering the car park. Too many cars. Well, why is it that my mother will know my father is back home? So that tells us that there is some slight and detailed difference, that kind of intimacy, that kind of understanding. That's what the Bible always emphasized. Man is not just knowing each other through one night stand, and then you give birth to a child, and then after day one in marriage, you live your own life, you care about your own things and feelings only. It's not just that. But you have to center on knowing each other. So our spiritual problem is, after we humans sin, we are best at hiding ourselves, covering ourselves, and we are most afraid when someone truly knows us. Do you know what is prom night? Nowadays, the children, they don't have prom night of graduation night. Last time in OCS, after 3 months, you can invite another person of the opposite gender to attend prom night. So how about matchmaking? Usually your first date, what do you do? The brother will dress very presentably, and then the gel that you put on the hair, and then you spray cologne, and then sisters, you also put on makeup and do your hair, put on perfume, and two of them, when they meet each other, have you ever asked? Before these two persons, before they meet, whatever they have done before the meeting is actually to avoid the other person from truly knowing them. So they put on a lot of the dressing on their body, on their hair, on their faces, not to let the other person know them truly. They only show them and present to them the most beautiful side of myself, the best smelling part of me. And that's what happened during the first meeting. And so the first meeting always feels very good. And we always like that kind of feeling. You know, you meet in a restaurant during the prom night, during matchmaking, but you will know. We want to hide ourselves because we know that if the other person truly knows me, if he truly knows my temper, the way I talk, the way I sit at home, the way I throw my tempers and at my siblings, at my parents, then the other person will not like me. We all know this. So on the first day, we try to impress. And only until we gradually start to wear t-shirt and slippers and meet each other, and the two of us, you know, we see how we lose our temper and we are very used to each other. You know, even you fart, you not feel embarrassed. In that kind of state, then you start to know that these two persons, they are moving toward marriage or they are already in marriage. So when you get into marriage, then you know. You really need to take away everything, all your masks, all your good feeling, even within you, those kind of weaknesses and ugliness and selfishness, even those areas, you will slowly bring out. And the other party will gradually know you, but then that's when problem arises. Because when you tear down your own mask, let yourself be naked before the other party, that kind of temperament, when you bring it out, then marriage starts to break down. Then you start to think why that person is like this, why the person treats me like that. And so you realize if you want to be intimate with someone and continuously being intimate with the person, then you must know the person's inner person. You need to walk into his heart to know this person thoroughly. Otherwise, you realize that you lose the good vibes from the past. You lost that nice smell from the past. You only see that at home, she's very naggy and doesn't look pretty anymore. So in marriage, you realize that if you do not move toward what the Bible talks about knowing, you truly know a person, then two persons get married. You endure for 2 or 3 years. Later on, you have child, you have no choice but to endure. But very soon, you may end up in the path of divorce. Now, in the modern society and generation, they emphasize a lot on pleasure and external. They emphasize so much and such that the ugly side of the spirit is very hard for people to bring out. And so people only put on a mask and are very superficial. And so people do not really understand what marriage is in the Bible. And so they are not willing to walk into the inner spirit of a person. And that's why after 2 or 3 years within marriage, they will start to have red lights in the marriage. It's like after 2 or 3 years, there's no more things to know about each other. Then you go to the office. Then you stay with your secretary, you hang out with your secretary and talk with the opposite gender. You found that they are very gentle and understanding, and they give you attention, and slowly you start to feel that the spouse at home is another person. But your feeling, your problem is you yourself, you have never wanted to know another person. Your spiritual problem and the other person's spiritual problem makes the two of you always remain in the superficial and external level in terms of knowing others. So you look and you look, you listen, you smell the external. But the true understanding and knowing of a person didn't continue to happen. So in many marriages, now recently MCYS had this report of divorce rates rising. And then they said most of the divorce categories happens between being married between 5 to 10 years. Most people got divorced within that period, that window of time, because you're being provoked and then you got married, and 2 or 3 years later you didn't continue to know the inner person of your spouse, and later on 2 years, 3 years later, there's the stress of life, there's work and children, and then you have no fresh feeling for each other. And when you look at things outside, you feel everything you can feel, you look at everything you can see, and then you endure. So roughly about 5 to 10 years later, people got divorced. So this is a reality. Especially in such a society where people pursue pleasure and feelings and external and putting on masks, and they don't want to know the inner person of people. When such people, they found a spouse, got married, and that's how it end up like. Now, many wives, what's their greatest heartache is that the husband don't want to talk to her. The husband is not listening to her. So that's the most miserable thing for the wife. And the husband is, my wife is not paying attention to me, only pay attention to the children, to the household chores. Actually, both of them say the same thing. Actually, both of them want the other party to know them. So those people who are about to get divorced, they mention a lot of things, but finally, they just stop at, the other person don't know me. That's the problem, the core problem. Because the person do not know me, the person does not walk into my heart. And then the person grows tired of me. And so they seek another feeling. So up to this point, many people will ask, so how can we know our spouse? How can I know my spouse deeper? So if we want to know science, does it mean that you go to the science center, you walk one round and you understand science? If you want to understand psychology, if you just watch a movie concerning psychology, after 1 or 2 hours, do you just understand or know psychology? Is that the case? Of course not. So if you want to be an engineer, you need to spend 10 to 20 years to study, learn science, physics, mathematics and etc. For 10 over years you learn, and after that it's not so easy for you to find a job, and that is engineer, and you took the position as an engineer, and from then you will cherish your job so much. Why? Because You have spent tens of thousands of dollars in this more than 10 years period. You spend so much time and money and energy to study the subject of engineering. What is engineering? What is physics? And after that, you got on this job, you will cherish it so much. That's how we learn. So that's how we learn the subjects on earth. And so we also cherish the job that we can get from these studies. And now you asked. You fell in love with this person for a few years and then you got married. What do you think? You can spend so long in knowing and then you just walk into the wedding ceremony with the person, had your vows, and after that you live together and you have children. You think about it. You spend how long to understand the person? How long do you spend to read this person and learn this person? When we talk about knowing or knowledge, now without studying, there's no knowledge. If you do not study, you will not be able to know a person or a thing. So you asked, the science that you study and your spouse, which of this is infinite? Which is more infinite? Of course, your spouse. A person's spirit is like one universe. It's harder than the whole world. Our Lord Jesus said, if you can earn the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what's the benefit? What's the gain? Now, if we apply this to our marriage, you can say, you learn the whole world and all the knowledge of the world, but you accept that you do not know your spouse, except that you do not know this man or this woman, then what's the point? What's the benefit? I've thought about this. Why we humans, we cherish a job? Because we spend a lot of time to learn in order to achieve that position. So that job becomes so so precious. So why is it that you don't treasure your spouse? That's because you didn't bother to learn about him, to know this person, not his external, what he likes to eat, what color he likes to wear. But you must walk into his inner heart to know him deeply. That is marriage. So the spiritual problem of marriage is we are too used to a person. We do not want to know a person, but after being too familiar, we get very comfortable. Now, when God created a helper for Adam, God brought all living beings before Adam to show Adam, is horse a good companion for you? Is cow okay for you? Cannot. Lion also cannot. But the woman who is created from your rib, just like our Lord Jesus, he bled and shed his blood for the church at his side. So God created a woman with a similar life as humans, as men, same image, same glory, but just different sex, different gender. So this woman is the bone of the bones of the man, flesh of men. And you have to use your whole life to understand this inner person. It's not just to understand if the horse or the cow, but it's a person. So in terms of knowing, we are lacking. We have yet to know the masculinity and femininity of men and women. And we didn't have that knowledge. What happens? After marriage, if you do not know this infinite person, what happens? Then a person has infinite potential, and if you do not know that, then divisions, conflicts, and quarrels and disputes will naturally arise. You don't know why. And sometimes you thought that it's due to the children or finances and you quarrel over those things. In fact, that's not the case. So some wives told the pastors. So I asked, what is your problem? Oh, then they say, because we are quarreling because of children. So I explained to them. Or then they told me, because of the parental demands, we quarrel. So I also explained to them certain principles. But no matter how, it cannot be resolved. So eventually, the wife said, he doesn't know me. Whatever he does, I also cannot accept. I doesn't like him to be gentle to me because he just doesn't know me. So that's the core of the problem. So quarrels will provoke us to have no choice but to put ourselves down and walk into a person's spirit. So we need to be wise. We must not learn or wait till quarrels are coming and then we start to talk things out. It's not that. All the quarrels and disputes in our marriage tells us that you still have yet to know the person well enough. All the struggles and quarrels of marriage is because you still do not know your spouse well enough. Do not allow quarrels and disputes to only propel us to know each other, and also do not resolve superficial problems. If you're very bored, I bring you to traveling, or I give you some money to buy some clothes. All these are useless. You must know that within a person there is this infinite thing, and they need you to understand and touch the person there. And so here, you must study another person. You must study your spouse. And when you want to read that person, just like a boss, when he has problem with the colleagues and they will come and have a conversation, so the boss will want to study the colleagues and find out what's wrong. You cannot do it the same way with colleagues as with your spouse. The motive by which you want to study your spouse is not to understand him in order to order him around. But you want to study him because you are in love with this man or woman. You are interested in this, your spouse, and so you want to study him, and then you can study him well. That's the mystery of marriage. So within this, you realize there's this very most important thing. If you want to study another person, the core is in marital living. You need communication. So communication is very important. If you know science, you will take out science textbook to read. If you want to know another person, another man or another woman, another life, then you need communication. You need to listen. You need to respond. And you need to test and approve what I say, what I do is pleasing to him, and what I do or say is displeasing to him. So you need to study him, and because you want to know him. So first, in communications, let me share a few things with you. The contents of your communication is very important. But what do you communicate? So every time you talk about the weather, about food, the things that you communicate about must get into the person's heart. You must know his thinking, his feeling. Do not just ask. Like me and my daughter, today, what do you eat? If I ask her that, I'll ask another question. Is it nice? Is it different? Even when I talk to my daughter, I want to know her feelings. Today, you go out with who? What do you talk about? How is this friend? Do you enjoy going out with this friend? So this is different. So you don't have to study psychology or what. Actually, humans are like this. If he has a relationship with you, he wants you to walk into his heart. So the things you talk about, if it revolves only around superficial stuff, then you realize you also cannot know him. He also cannot know you. And second, when you are communicating with people, in the midst of communicating, you will influence him, and you also let him influence you. You influence him and you let him influence you. And then, amazingly, within this, you develop this intimacy. God's word influences us, and we respond to God in prayer, and we cry out to God, and then our heart also moves God's heart. And in the midst of this, we have this intimacy with God. So God knows, because He created man and woman according to His own image. So He put the same characteristics on woman and man. So when two of them talk, after talking, but if you never see the other person adjust or change or adapt, then you start to realize the communication will stop. But in this communication, you are influencing the person. You know, when you're talking to the person, he's listening, and tomorrow I see he makes some adjustment, and I also accept his suggestion. And actually, these two persons don't need to say, I love you, I really like you every day. But automatically, you know inside you that I need you, you need me. I'm influencing you, and you're also influencing me. We are also allowing each other to influence each other. So I speak, and she listens, and she also responds, and I myself also change. Now, this is the mystery of communication. First is what you communicate about. Second, what happens in the midst of the communication, and that is the mutual influence. And how long should you communicate? You need to communicate for your whole life, because new things keep happening. Now, today you have communicated. One day when you have children, and because of the children, you will talk even more, because more things will happen. And suddenly, you know, you get very busy and stressed over the next few months because of work, and you come back, there's a lot of things to talk about. And you realize that in the midst of this, the two of your relationship will be built up. So every time when new things come, you continue to communicate. Now, some people, they are afraid of problems. So they always say, let's not bring our problems back home. You know, if I have work stress, do not bring that stress back home. So some husbands told me, I never told my wife about my work stress. So because maybe my wife doesn't like to listen to my work issues, so I talk lesser. Now, such marriage may move towards loneliness instead of intimacy. Sometimes on earth, when we face certain problems, we, based on our own wisdom, we want to create certain methods to sustain marriage. Actually, it's not sustaining marriage. You are just doing it for yourself. You don't want to let yourself be embroiled into very complicated situation where you don't want to have disputes with the person, and then you get disappointed, and so you rather not talk at all. That's a wrong approach. When God created man and woman, there is the significance of this different gender, different person, different gender, and the two of them attract each other. There's two different angles toward matters, to different understanding. You come together, then they form the intimacy and love. That's different. If I told something to Elder Wen Gang versus something I told my wife, of course, it would be different. Do it, Wen Gang, Zhang Lao, I'll just talk about knowledge. I'll just talk about pandemic, for example. I will not talk too much special things. I also not demand him to understand me deeply. But when I talk to my wife, it is different. In everything I told her, her response, whether she acknowledged some things that I'm of concern. Like sometimes I ask her about the children, and she will start to know that I'm concerned about the children. So all these things happen in communication. Now, some wives told pastor, my husband is very stingy. Every time when I spend money, he got angry. We have been married for so long. Married for 20 years and he's still like that. So in my heart, I keep thinking, maybe what you say may be right. He's a bit stingy. But I have this conviction in my heart that have you known him? Have you asked him why is he stingy? I'm not saying it's right to be stingy. Maybe he's afraid of your retirement. Maybe he's concerned about the children's education funds. But you didn't know him. From your perspective, you keep looking at him. Some husbands say, my wife always nag and criticize me and intervenes with me in every little things. So I asked, have you asked why is she intervening in you? Why is she not interfering in other people? Actually, she's also afraid of you failing and losing out. So if you didn't get into each other's heart, then you start to form a certain perspective of that person. You are such a person, you are just like that. And slowly, this will shape another person. Maybe within the person, he has certain weaknesses not covered by you, and he just gets weaker and weaker. Or even his good intentions, maybe he's concerned about you, even that good intentions of concern over you is also destroyed by your misunderstanding. So eventually, you see that your spouse only nag at you, orders you around, puts you down. That's because for the 10 years, 20 years, you didn't walk into your spouse's heart to understand him or her. Because the moment the person is being understood, then in his weakness, maybe when she over-nag, then she will reduce. Or she will change a tone. But because she's not understood, that's why she's like that. So the understanding, the knowledge among or between husband and wife is really beyond words. And so the two of you will influence each other and shape each other, especially if you know Bible's love and knowledge. Then amazingly, you will get more and more blessed, more and more like the relationship between Christ and the church. Otherwise, you just get used to each other. And because you do not know each other continuously, and if you are too familiar with each other, you will misunderstand each other. And so this is a generation where people do not really want to know people or know their spouse. Because this is a society that focuses on pleasures. Especially in marriage, I realized, especially in our fast-paced society, every time when I say, people say, no, we are so busy, how do we have time? And the wife says, he's busy, he has no time for me. Or some husbands will say, my wife is very busy, my wife is busier than me at work. Do you think busyness is a reason? In fact, when man says he's busy, what he wants is not too much. When the wife say, you're always very busy, no time for me, the husband will say, I need to earn money, can I just quit my job and go to the beach with you? This is also what the wife needs. Actually, the wife wants you to sit down to hear her, understand her, and walk into her heart. Now, no matter how the two of them are busy, as long as they can, for example, at night, maybe the husband comes home at 9 p.m., when you sit down to eat, the other person sit down to eat and talk with him, maybe before sleep, 1 hour of talk, then it's fine after that. No matter how busy you are, I know you love this family, but when that communication didn't happen, and you didn't get into each other's heart to know each other, then there is this void. When there is this void and emptiness, you feel very lonely. You feel you are married, but you are lonely. Then he will start to pinpoint the problem. Is it because he's too busy? Is it because now the family has a lot of things that needs money? Or maybe the person changed already? You try to find a lot of reasons. But all these reasons are peripheral reasons. But what they want is just this knowing. So you see, though pastor is very busy, no matter how busy I am, I will talk with my wife, especially in this generation. In this modern society, is a generation of mobile phone. If you say you're busy, some husband, they came back home at 5 or 6 o'clock. They are not very busy. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, up to 11 o'clock when you sleep. 3 hours you're spending on phone. You don't want to know and don't want to study each other. Then you realize the person is there, but they don't want to talk. Then they feel even more lonely. This is a real problem of this era. So I say, sometimes you need to be careful about the threats brought about by the environment. So sometimes intentionally, you need to put away your phone. So husband and wife, maybe simple things, you go to the supermarket to take a walk, talk a bit. So when we are lacking in knowing each other, then other problems or temptations will continue to invade us. Then we will seek God, what to do? I've already prayed. I've already done this and that. The Lord says, in the beginning, when I created Adam and Eve, is to make them know each other. My sheep knows me and also knows my sheep. My sheep knows me, so they follows me. So they follow me. And in the course of knowing, they become intimate with each other. And they have this contact. And in that intimacy, they have satisfaction. Because behind this, they are continuously knowing each other. And over here, I give you a very important conclusion. So now I asked you. Now, 2 person in their knowing, it will lead to both of them being satisfied. Now, in a marriage, it's not possible where 1 person keeps giving and selflessly loving each other. Last time, I keep thinking, I recall back what I said about marriage. I said, husband and wife, you must love each other. So I said that the love that God has given husband and wife is a selfless love. Now, this selfless love comes from God selflessly loving us. So we also should love each other selflessly. So one day I asked myself, the Bible tells us to deny ourselves, especially the wife should, especially the husband should give up his life for his wife. But is denying self a selfless love? Is denying self a selfless love? Selfless means I don't demand anything from you. I give you whatever you want. I marry you in order to satisfy you, to make you happy. That is selfless love. Do you think marriage is like this? Some people nodded. Some people shook their head. So it's not. So I ask you, even though God is selfless, but does God have demands on us? Yes, God has. Does God demand you to draw near to Him, to submit to Him, to praise Him? Does He? But God has no need. He totally has no need. But He still demands us to respond to Him. Why? For our sake. So in the interpersonal relationship, especially marriage, which God has created, one man, one woman. Some people say, I have no demand over the person. I only want him or her to be happy. That's because you watch Romeo and Juliet too much. Now, each of us, when we enter marriage, of course, marriage is not supposed to be a selfish love, but marriage is also not selfless love. It's not selfish love, but it's also not selfless love. Everyone, when we get into marriage, we want to get something out of the marriage. For example, I need the person's help, my spouse's help. I need his understanding. I want to get the intimacy from him. I want him to satisfy some of my needs. I have some weakness. I need him to lead me and guide me. And I hope that when I enter marriage, my level is like this. But when I got married with him, my level will be raised up. So that there's some improvement. So how can I enter marriage without wanting anything except the other party being happy? That is an illusion. This is the Cinderella and the love novel illusion. If that's the case, if that's how you enter marriage, you will not be like humans, because God doesn't have any need, but He also demands from us. So in marriage, you must know that there is this very important mystery, because you keep knowing each other and communicating with each other. So in the midst of this, you will reveal your weakness, your inadequacies, and your needs. You will reveal all this. And in the midst of this, you will tell each other, I need you. I need you to satisfy me in this area, to support me or to endure me. I need your help in terms of children matters or whatever matters. And so toward my wife, I have certain expectations and demands. But when she cannot reach my expectation, I completely cover her, and I will love her in the midst of that. So, you understand my point? Because I love her, then I demand from her. And she loves me, and she knows me, so she also demands from me. So in this demanding, you will realize, when I demand more and more from my wife, then she will know how to be someone who is godly before God and virtuous before men. She will be such a woman. If I marry her and put her in my house and give in to her every day, what kind of woman will she become? The woman will be very happy. You know, some man is pampering me and all the household my husband will do. Then you will not be a good woman. Now, when a woman is being demanded by her husband, but yet she's also being loved and protected by her husband, when I demand from my wife, I cannot say that you must fulfill all my demands, because I know she's human. She cannot do it. But I cannot stop demanding from her. So when I demand from her, she will improve. And when I demand from her, amazingly, she also knows that I need her. So her love for me is more affirmed. So here is where I will end my my message, because later on I will talk about the roles between men and women. So if you enter marriage without the foundation of knowledge, you realize you cannot go on in your marriage. So you must know, if you want to know a person, you must study a person, you must understand a person, get into his heart. And for your whole life, you need to learn how to live with someone different from you, different temperament, different gender, different perspective. You need to communicate with the person, and as a result of communication, you realize that because you love each other, you demand from each other, and in this midst of demanding, you realize after 10 years, 20 years, both parties improve and they become more beautiful and glorious men or women. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for using your words to instruct us. Especially in matter of marriage, you illuminate us. Especially in this modern era, it's more infrequent for us to know a person's inner heart. But Lord, you prepared for us the spouse so that we can walk into their heart and get to know them and develop intimacy with them. Lord, please instruct us in this matter, and we pray and give thanks in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.